By now, you've remembered that World Communion Sunday is always a special day in the life of the Christian church around the world, where on one day, all of us gather not only worship, but we share in communion and acknowledge that through Jesus, we are all connected and that we are all his followers. One of my minister friends put this in perspective recently when he wrote to his congregation and said, it's a wonderful day. It starts actually yesterday, our time, around 5 p.m. our time, when the sun rose on Sunday morning in Australia, and Christians in Sydney began sharing in communion with all of us around the world. He went on to mention that it was around 1 a.m. in the morning when hopefully we were all asleep, that Christians in Madrid and in Paris were going to church to celebrate World Communion Sunday. It's our turn here now, 9 o'clock, and at 10:45 this morning, our time, for us to celebrate. And then this afternoon, along about the time we're all enjoying the 49ers' victory over the Bills this afternoon, Christians in the Marshall Islands will be gathering for Sunday morning worship as they conclude the World Communion Sunday there. I've always loved World Communion Sunday ever since I was a child, and now that I'm an adult, I still do. I love the beauty and the color. I love the diversity, the unity that's spoken about, and the point being made that we are united not just because it's good to be united, but that we're united for a mission in the name of Jesus Christ. And certainly our table today, thank you, Kay, for this, Kay Alexander, for this. It speaks to us in beauty about the good news of Jesus Christ. The scripture that Jan read a few moments ago also ties in with this morning. You heard the story in Mark 12 where one of the religious leaders, one of the religious scholars, comes to Jesus and he asks a question. Say, Jesus, can you tell me what's the most important commandment that God has given us? Now, you need to know that this was a trick question. It's something like now as we're going through the presidential debate season, it was almost as if maybe one of the moderators of the debates might look at either Mitt Romney or Barack Obama and slip a question in something like, can you tell me in detail what your plan for world peace is? Now, chances are we're looking for some information there. But if that kind of question got asked, I'd also be suspicious that the question was asked to look for somewhere that the respondent could trip up and could embarrass himself in the process. Well, this is exactly what this religious leader was doing. He was looking for some information from Jesus, but he was also looking to trip him up. He's asking Jesus, of all the things that have been taught to us in our laws, and all the things in our culture, what is primary and what is secondary? The question is asked, and Jesus doesn't respond the way that the religious leader was expecting. And he certainly doesn't answer in the way that those of us who live our lives in the American context might answer. If the question was asked of us, we might respond with something about our jobs or our careers, something about our families, our marriage, our children, something about our homes, or maybe our friends, something about faith and church, maybe something about community, and or maybe something about our health or our finances. But Jesus doesn't do that. Looks the guy in the eye and says, what matters most? What absolutely matters most, what is the greatest priority, is the relationships that you have in life. First and foremost, with God, but then secondly, with one another. Jesus is affirming that the priority in life is to love God and love your neighbor. And Jesus lived this, he taught it, and he died for it. And he challenges us to do the same. Now, this is nothing new to you. You've heard it all before. It's kind of like Christianity 101. It's kind of like learning the ABCs of the Christian faith. This is the center. This is the point. But what I want to lift up for you today is hearing it again. I want you to be careful this time, though. I don't want you to be fooled by the simplicity that's here. I don't want you to be fooled by the simplicity of the words, because what Jesus is saying, the day that he spoke to that religious leader, what he was telling him was radically different than anything that man's culture had taught him before. And the same is true of us today. What Jesus is saying to us today is radically different than what our culture tries to teach us. Is it stocks and bonds? Is it houses? Is it social status? Is it physical beauty? Is it career success that are important? They certainly are in our American context. But for Jesus, they're minor concerns. What the bottom line is for Jesus is, and he wants us to put our relationship with God at the center of our living and to have it guide everything else we do. And that as we live our lives, we are to think about, act for, and care for others as much as we care for ourselves. There's a pastor at one of those mega churches in Texas, who recently preached a sermon on this, and I liked what he said. He said that what Jesus is calling us to be is to be great commandment individuals, where we're willing to commit to the radical message of Jesus Christ in a new and deeper way than we ever have before. What Jesus is asking us to be is great commandment families, where we try to put into practice on an intense day-by-day experience loving one another in a new and radical way. And what Jesus is calling us to do is to be then a great commandment church, where we love one another and we care for one another and we grow in faith, but where we're also committed equally to caring for others outside our doors. One of the things that church is doing, I'm just thinking out loud here now, one of the things that church does is it writes a 50-50 budget. They haven't achieved that goal yet, but their goal is to spend as much money on ministry and mission outside the walls of the church as they do for all of the activities that take place on the church campus. A great commandment church. So it seems to me on World Communion Sunday, what Christ is doing is once again inviting us to his table and asking you to reaffirm your commitment to being a part of his community of faith, of his family, in all of its beauty and in all of its diversity. And at the same time, Christ is also inviting you to his table to affirm your commitment to be a Great Commandment Christian and a Great Commandment Church. So come, I invite you to his table, but come carefully. Because when you do today, God's Spirit may touch you and might just change you. No, that's not right. God's Spirit may touch you and transform you into the kind of Christian that God wants and needs you to be, a Great Commandment Christian. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your call. Thank you for your touch. Thank you for your challenge. Simple as it sounds, as difficult as it is to do, thank you for it. Help us to respond. Amen.